So let's look at the Wiener filter now. The Wiener filter is well known as an optimized filter under certain assumptions. And in the course last year on 1D signal processing, we saw how to derive the Wiener filter using a similar representation. But here we will see how to do it in 2D and how we can apply some of these principles to optimize image processing operations or expressions of image processing operations by applying derivatives and optimization procedures. The Wiener filter is a linear filter that is designed to minimize the mean squared error between the output and the unknown original image that you presume is known for some time, and then you work out certain relationships, and then later on you eliminate that or replace it with certain statistical measures. The output of the filter is an optimal estimate of the original image in the mean squared error sense, and it is known as the linear minimum mean squared error, LMMSE, or the linear mean squared, LMS, estimate. The notation here varies from publication to publication, but the Wiener filter is a certain specialized type of filter which has certain characteristics, as you will see. And the LMMSE is a commonly used notation, and you will see some extensions to this later on. There are a few different formulations of the Wiener filter, and you could have a certain input G that is the desired or original image that you intended to capture, F, plus, in this case, plus eta, where plus eta represents additive random noise that is degrading the image, and what you're seeing is a noisy version of the image F that you capture in G. Now, there could be other models of degradation, including G equal to HF plus eta, where HF will represent convolution with a blurring function. And that version of blurred, noisy degradation mechanism is dealt with in another chapter on restoration, and we will not have the time to go there. So in the chapter on image restoration, you will see the same model with G equal to HF plus eta. So here we are only considering G equal to F plus eta, that is degradation with additive noise only. There is no blurring. The Wiener estimation problem is to determine a linear estimate F tilde. In this book, I have used the superscript tilde, not superscript, but putting on top, I suppose. The F tilde representation to indicate an estimate of F. And we want that to be equal to LG, where L represents a linear filter in matrix format. So we are using the matrix notation here of F from the given image, LG. L is applied to the degraded image G, but the estimate F tilde is of F that we intended to capture from the given image G, where L is a linear filter or transform operator. Now, F and G are n squared by 1 matrices formed by row or column ordering of the corresponding n by n images. And in that case, L, F and G are n squared by 1. L then is n squared by n squared, as we have seen just now. So that is the filter to be designed, and you want that to be optimal under certain conditions. So the error that needs to be minimized is set up in this manner: exponential of the norm, some measure of F minus F tilde square. In this case, the error square, which is the mean square. So the expectation here indicates some form of averaging. So this is the squared error, and expectation is some form of statistical averaging. And that is the mean squared error, and we need to make that minimum, or select or design a filter L such that that error is at its minimum. The mean squared error could be expressed in a few different ways. And the way it is used here is to take the outer product, so we get certain cross terms. So f minus f tilde is the error. You multiply it with its transpose, which is the outer product, which is going to be a matrix. And then, because it's a matrix, you take the trace of that matrix, which is the sum of all the diagonal elements, which will give you the error for every pixel in the image, and take the expectation or the mean value of that. So this is the mean squared error. Okay? If you remember, right at the beginning when we started matrix representation or vector representation of matrices and images, or matrix and vector representation of signals and images, then I wrote the energy as either F transpose F or trace of F F transpose. If you take the dot product, it would be F minus F tilde, this transpose times that. The transpose would come at the beginning, and then it is a single quantity. And then optimization will give you something else which may not work out in terms of all the cross products. Whereas here, you get certain terms that we can make use of in a different way. And hence, it is written as the outer product and the trace, but they are the same. The net result is the same. So take this expression, F minus F tilde times its transpose, and expand. You get all of these terms, FF transpose, F, F transpose, and minus F, this with F tilde transpose. That, take the minus F tilde with F and transpose, which is this, and finally, minus F times minus F tilde, minus F tilde transpose will give you plus F tilde transpose. So this is simply expansion of the term within the curly braces. Okay? Now, take each one of these and work out the details. F tilde, the estimate we wrote earlier, is LG. L is the filter you want to design, which is going to be the Wiener filter at the end. So when you transpose it, you get G transpose L transpose. The transpose of LG is G transpose L transpose. But G is F plus eta. That is the degradation model. So G transpose is F transpose plus eta transpose multiplied with L transpose. And do that for all of the remaining parts of this expression. So F tilde transpose comes out to that. F tilde F transpose comes out to that. And F tilde transpose comes out to this. So I won't read all of that. You have combinations of F, F transpose, eta transpose, L transpose. Okay? So this is just expanding those expressions that we saw earlier and substituting G equal to LF. And the appropriate, I'm sorry, not G equal to LF, what did I say? F tilde equal to LG. That is the filtered output. Okay? Now, all of these four expressions need to be added up to make up the mean squared error. And then we had also expectation and trace operators applied to the sum of these four quantities. Now, these are linear operators. So the trace of a sum of matrices is equal to the sum of their traces. So when you add up the matrices, you can interchange these. Because expectation involves some form of averaging, adding of these quantities. So you can interchange the expectation and trace operators. So take the expectation inside and apply to each of these quantities. Let's go back. We had expectation of trace. So now take the trace outside and put the expectation inside. And apply the expectation to each of these quantities. So then we get the interpretation of what that expectation operator will give you. Expectation of FF transpose is the autocorrelation matrix of the image. We defined earlier in vector or matrix format, the autocorrelation function can be written as expectation FF transpose. Expectation F tilde transpose is F tilde is LG. And this will work out to phi F L transpose. Where did we get that? Let me go back. FF tilde transpose. Here, FF tilde transpose, the second one. Apply the expectation to this. Expectation of FF transpose will give you phi F. Expectation doesn't apply to L. It is a filter. It's a determinate quantity, and there is no expectation of that. Plus, expectation of this quantity, F eta transpose, we are assuming that the noise is independent of the signal, so they are not correlated. So the correlation of F with eta will be zero. That is the assumption made in Wiener filtering. So the expectation of F tilde transpose will only have this quantity that is cancelled. Cancelled in the sense, expectation of F eta transpose is zero. So we get this result. Assuming that expectation of F eta transpose is zero, they are statistically independent and hence uncorrelated. We are also assuming that the mean of the noise is zero. The expectation of eta is zero, which is quite common too. And then expectation of F tilde F transpose is L phi F. That is F tilde F transpose. Let's go back here, this one. Take the expectation of that, you get L, and then expectation of FF transpose, that is phi F. And the second term, expectation of eta F transpose is zero. They're uncorrelated. So get this. The expectation of eta eta transpose is phi eta. That is the autocorrelation of noise. That is another autocorrelation function we have. Only the cross-correlation is zero. And then expectation of F tilde transpose. We get this. So let's go back there. We had this long expression. So L, expectation applies to this. This is the autocorrelation of signal, phi F. Expectation of that is zero. Expectation of that is zero. Expectation of that is phi eta, which is the autocorrelation of noise. And then L and L transpose stay the same way. So you get L phi F L transpose plus L phi eta L transpose. The cross correlation between F and eta is zero. Okay? So combine all of these, we get the mean squared error that we want to minimize as the trace of all of these things put together. You can simplify a little bit, and you have two of these. Which one here? 2 phi f L transpose, because this one will give you the same result. Phi f L transpose and L phi f will be the same. So trace of that. Now, the trace of phi f L transpose and trace of L phi f will be the same. That's why we can combine this. The advantage now in this expression is that the mean squared error is no longer a function of the individual entities, F, G, or eta. But instead, we have their statistics coming in. Because we took the mean squared error and we applied the expectation first. The trace is outside. So by applying the expectation, we are converting those into their corresponding statistics. So the mean squared error depends only on the statistical characteristics of F and eta and the filter L that you want to determine. Okay, is that clear? Okay, now to optimize the filter, you take the derivative of that expression, the mean squared error with respect to L, the filter, equal to zero and solve. You get this expression, where when you take the derivative here, you can keep the trace aside for now, that goes away. Here we get minus 2 phi f, and then LL transpose, that will give you 2 because of LL transpose, 2 L phi f, and then 2 L phi eta. So set that equal to 0. Then the Wiener filter, the optimal Wiener filter L, by manipulating this expression, you take, cancel the 2, L phi f plus phi eta equal to phi f going on the other side. So L, the Wiener filter, the optimal filter is phi f times phi f plus phi eta inverse. Okay? So that is the optimal Wiener filter. And now you're applying that to the observed image G. So take all of that and multiply with G, the observed image. So this is the linear minimum mean squared error estimate of the image F that you intended to capture, but due to noise, you observe G, so you filter G, and that is the estimate of the image by using the procedure of minimizing the mean squared error. Okay? So for this, to do this much, we had to go through all the matrix representation of filters and transforms and convolution that we did for I don't know how many hours. But that all of that facilitates this derivation. And a few more, we will see a few more versions of this later. So how do you implement this? In practice, you need to consider a few other options to implement this in an efficient manner or interpret it in a few other terms in the context of filtering using linear shift invariant systems. It is a linear filter, and we wrote the expression as F tilde equal to LG, where L is a matrix that corresponds to convolution. We wrote G equal to HF as matrix operation, so this is matrix representation of two-dimensional convolution when we wrote F tilde equal to LG. So L is the matrix representation of the impulse response of a filter, of a linear shift invariant filter. But we also saw that that representation could be converted into a Fourier transform relationship and filtering relationship by applying the DFT. So that is what we will see in a few minutes. So let's look at this phi f plus phi eta, and we need to invert that. But if the image that you are dealing with is of size n by n, these matrices are of size n square by n square, and that would be quite impossible in practice to invert such a matrix. Inversion becomes easier if the matrix can be written as the product of a diagonal matrix and a unitary matrix. And that is where the advantage of what we saw becomes useful or becomes clear, that if we can somehow manipulate this expression into the diagonalization of circulant matrices that we saw using the Fourier transform, then inversion becomes easy. So we're not going to invert this directly, but only the corresponding diagonal matrix. Now, how can we make that happen? Phi eta is a diagonal matrix if eta is uncorrelated random noise. Only the diagonal elements will correspond to the variances of the noise values, and there's no cross-correlation between those elements. So phi eta is a diagonal matrix if the noise that we have is uncorrelated random noise, which is true in most cases, or we assume to be so. So that is not an issue. Phi f is not a diagonal matrix in general. In most real images, the correlation decreases between pixels as the shift or the distance increases. In most cases, you get a Laplacian type distribution for the autocorrelation function, where the autocorrelation is high for small distances. Pixels that are nearby in a certain image are highly correlated, but a pixel here is uncorrelated or has a very small correlation with a pixel somewhere far away in the image. So that is a general observation in the case of natural scenes. Now, there could be artificially created images or special cases where the correlation remains high. But in general, one would observe that the correlation between pixels reduces as the distance increases fairly rapidly according to a Laplacian distribution in most cases. Phi f, which is composed of those correlation values, autocorrelation values of the image, will contain many zeros then and may be approximated by a block circlent matrix. So this is an approximation made. If you can approximate it as a block circlent matrix, then we can write phi f as W capital phi f W inverse, where that Fourier transform matrix is a diagonal matrix. If it is block circlent, and we will assume that it is block circlent. In the other case, for noise, there is no problem. We said if it is uncorrelated, it will be a diagonal matrix, so this property is valid. Under those assumptions, we get the Wiener filter output, F tilde, and go back to this expression, and write each of these phi matrices as W, the corresponding diagonal version, W inverse. And some of those W inverses, when multiplied here, will cancel out. And we get this expression, W inverse G multiplied with phi f plus phi eta inverse, where these are capital phi corresponding to the Fourier transforms of the little phi autocorrelation matrices, and a phi W phi f at the end on this side. Okay? To get this, you have to go back here, replace each phi f or phi eta with the corresponding W capital phi W inverse, and cancel some of the WW inverses that come side by side because they are identity matrices. So now, if you look at this expression, it is similar to what we have seen in the past. W inverse G is the Fourier transform of G, and that is GKL after you reconstitute the result into an array. This is the Fourier transform of the given image. Capital phi f is given by W inverse phi f W, and that is equal to the power spectral density of f, because we are taking the Fourier transform of the autocorrelation. The Fourier transform of the autocorrelation function is the power spectral density. So let's call capital phi f as SFKL, where S stands for the power spectral density, KL being the frequency indices in 2D Fourier space. Phi eta, capital phi eta, is given by this expression, W inverse phi eta W, and that is equivalent to the noise power spectral density, because again, we are taking the Fourier transform of the autocorrelation of noise. So this inversion, this inverted matrix here, corresponds to, the argument here corresponds to the sum of the power spectral density of the image and the power spectral density of the noise. So we can combine all of these interpreted expressions and write capital F tilde KL, which is the Fourier transform of the estimated image, is equal to the Fourier transform of the input image GKL multiplied with SFKL, because there was another W, this part, W phi F. S divided by SFKL plus S eta KL. You are still in the frequency domain because we haven't done the final W here, which is the inverse transform. So up to this part. And you can divide, take SF to the denominator if you wish, cancel that, you get 1 plus S eta over SFKL. Multiplied with GKL. So this interpretation tells us that the Wiener filter is represented by a transfer function that is a ratio of the power spectral density of the given image, of the original image rather, SFKL, divided by SF plus S eta. SF is the power spectral density of the original image, which we don't know. We don't know the image. But now we are telling that to get the output, we need the power spectral density of the original undegraded image. We need a model for that. We need a model for the power spectral density of eta, which is noise. And then we can constitute the Wiener filter and multiply that with the Fourier transform of the observed noisy image, which is the filter, and then finally take an inverse Fourier transform of that result and you get the filtered image. So the Wiener filter now depends upon this expression, which requires the power spectral densities of the original image or the image process that generated the image that you observed, that you were trying to observe, and instead got G, and the noise. Now, power spectral density is the Fourier transform of the autocorrelation, and autocorrelation is a second-order statistical measure. By representing this using second-order statistics and not considering other statistics, what you're saying is that you are considering stationary processes with only the first and second order statistics, and that is in terms of the autocorrelation function and the power spectral density equivalently. So the dependence is upon the second order statistics of the processes rather than upon the realization of that process of the Wiener filter. Now the gain of the Wiener filter, as seen in this expression, is a function of frequency KL. So for every frequency, you have a certain value, so it's a function of frequency. And it varies according to the signal-to-noise ratio for every frequency as a function of UV or KL in the discrete space. So the gain is high wherever the power spectral density of the original signal process, SFKL, is high compared to S eta. And the gain is low wherever the signal-to-noise ratio is low. The gain is equal to 1 if the noise power spectral density is 0. So here, if there is no noise component at any particular frequency KL, the gain is equal to 1. If S eta is higher than SF, the gain is reduced. So wherever the noise component is high in the frequency space, the gain is reduced. Wherever the noise is not present or is small, the gain increases to a maximum of 1. If there is no noise, S eta is 0 and the gain is equal to 1. So the Wiener filter modulates its gain in accordance to the noise to signal ratio or the signal to noise ratio for every frequency component. This is seen as a noise to signal ratio for every frequency, component by component. A disadvantage is that this filter is not spatially adaptive. It is applied to the entire image using one transfer function. So it is a global operation, and it assumes that the spectral characteristics remain the same for the entire image. The whole image is characterized by one power spectral density. So in that sense, it is not spatially adaptive. That is, it is assumed that the process is second order stationary. So while suppressing noise, the Wiener filter is likely to blur sharp features and edges in the image because they correspond to increased high frequency components in a local region, and the global model for the power spectral density does not consider such local variations within the image. So that is a disadvantage of the Wiener filter. Now, to implement the Wiener filter, you need these models of either the autocorrelation or the power spectral density, and they're equivalent because they're related by the Fourier transform. Of course, we don't know the original image F. Instead, we got the degraded image G. But it should be possible to estimate a model of the autocorrelation function for the population of images of the type that you are trying to observe or record. And that is where we have some issues to deal with. The design of appropriate signal and noise power spectral density models could be a little difficult in practice. If you don't use appropriate models, you will get poor performance. The Wiener filter is optimal if you can get the correct model for the autocorrelation function or power spectral density. The implicit assumption made here is that the noise and image processes are second-order stationary processes because we used one autocorrelation function or one power spectral density function to represent the entire image. The mean and variance do not vary from one image to another. That is the assumption made, which is not true in practice for most real-life images with large spatial extent. So we need spatially or locally adaptive filters in practice. Let me just check what I have. Okay, before I show the examples, I want to mention that in practice we have some of these difficulties, yes, but we could also estimate the statistics required if you have a population or collection of images of the type you are studying or you're trying to acquire. So let us say you're working with mammograms and you have a mammogram that needs to be filtered using this technique. Quite likely, in your collection of images or database of mammograms, you will have several mammograms that are considered to be of excellent quality. You could estimate the autocorrelation function of those mammograms. And from that autocorrelation function, you can obtain a model power spectral density for that category of images. Only mammograms of, let's say, craniocaudal view or mediolateral view. And you may have a number of images. You may have 1,000 images in your database, out of which you may consider 100 images are of excellent quality with no noise, no blurring, nothing. Take those images and estimate the autocorrelation function. And then take the Fourier transform and you get the power spectral density. And then you can fit a curve to that. There could be some variations due to the particular population or samples you have selected. To overcome that limitation, you may fit a curve. If you can model the power spectral density as being of a particular parametric curve, for example, Laplacian. The autocorrelation function in many cases is a Laplacian, which will go like that. There's only one parameter, that is the sigma. You need to estimate the appropriate Laplacian model for your data set. And then take the Fourier transform of that, and you can parameterize that too if you wish, and say this is the model for the best mammograms of this kind. when you have a mammogram that is noisy, that you want to filter using this technique, then you could use this model that you derived from the best mammograms in your collection and apply that as phi f, autocorrelation function, or the equivalent power spectral density SF by taking the Fourier transform. And then you need phi eta, which is the noise. You need the autocorrelation of noise. Now, how do you get that? Earlier I mentioned that you could estimate from a given noisy image if you know that some portion of the image contains only noise. You could cut that portion of the noise from the image and then compute statistics. So in a mammogram, if this is a mammogram, you know that the mammogram has the breast here and most of the other area will be empty. So you could take such parts of several noisy mammograms that you know, or somebody has told you, these are noisy and these are good. So cut such portions of mammograms where there is no image information but only noise, and of those data you compute the autocorrelation function. And then you would expect some autocorrelation function. And that would be only the noise variance, quite likely. You expect it to be a diagonal matrix because the noise samples are mutually uncorrelated. So you only want those diagonal values. So you fit a model, you do something to that, clean it up, create a model that represents noise in the noisy mammograms in your experience or in your database. Use that model to filter the specific mammogram that you want to process. Or take its Fourier transform and you get the corresponding spectrum. It need not always be white. If phi eta is diagonal, then the corresponding power spectral density is flat or white. If it is not, then you have an appropriate model, whatever that be. What I'm trying to say is that when you have a database of images of a particular kind that you are dealing with in your application area, from that database you could possibly extract a number of examples where you have nearly perfect images with no degradation, and use those to get the signal model for that population, phi f or sf. And then for the noisy part, you extract certain samples in your database that contain noise and only noise by trimming the image or extracting the parts where you know there is no signal information but only noise. Compute statistics and say for this population of images the noise model is so and so. And then for all of those images that you want to filter of that variety, you apply the corresponding Wiener filter. Of course, you cannot take this Wiener filter and apply to chest X-ray images or CT images or some other type of images. You could apply, but you will get some result which is not optimal. You will get some result, it's a filter, so you may filter and you will get something, but you're not guaranteed that that is optimal. It's not a Wiener filter for that other category. So for each category of images that you want to filter, not each image, but each category or class of images, you need to design an appropriate Wiener filter that is optimized. Yeah? Question. That's up to you. If you have a good population for each type, suppose we're talking about mammograms, would it be possible to create separate models for disease 1, disease 2, disease 3? If you have a population of images already labeled by an expert radiologist as 1,000 of these are disease 1, 1,000 of these are disease 2, and so on, you could do that, but when you have a new case that is not labeled yet, you don't know what disease that particular person has, then you wouldn't know which filter to apply. So if you get very specific like that, and you have a new case for which you need to apply the filter, you cannot handle that situation. So it may not be advantageous to get to such fine demarcation of your database or the models. So it may be appropriate to remain within a broader category such as mammograms. And within mammograms, you may consider the mediolateral view to be different from the craniocaudal view, because the mediolateral view has the pectoral muscle, which creates some other type of statistics for the image. But if you're dealing with, let's say, computer tomography images, you should perhaps deal with CT of the head as one category, because there is a skull and all of these features. CT of the chest could be different, or chest only here, and CT of the abdomen could be different, and so on. But within those categories, do you want CT of the abdomen for people with diseased liver? I don't think that would be appropriate. The problem will arise when you want to apply to a new case for which you do not know the categorization. All you will know is it is CT of the abdomen. Then you just apply the model for that. Okay? D. This is the gain of the Wiener filter in the frequency domain, given as the ratio of the power spectral density model for the image divided by SF plus S eta. Now here I used a particular model that I have described in the book. I won't go into the details of that. You need a model for SF, so I used some model. And this is the result I got of the Wiener filter. Ignore the last image for the moment. We will get to that method later. So image E is the result of the Wiener filter. Note from this image D that the Wiener filter, in this case, is a low-pass filter. As you go to higher frequencies, you expect the value of the power spectral density of the image to go down and the power spectral density value of the noise to remain high. So for high frequencies, the gain of the Wiener filter will be lower. So the Wiener filter here is a low-pass filter because it is designed to remove noise. What shape it should be and where it should cut off is determined by the models, SF and S eta, according to the models you provide. So part E of this image shows the result where it is a smooth image, noise has been reduced, but there is some blurring of the edges. That's the price you pay. I see most of you have the book. Do you want me to zoom this and show? Okay, you have the book, so you are looking at a better print than what you can see on screen, perhaps.